Epistle to Philemon. There are so many things to share with you. However, my ability of sharing, especially the ability to use my voice, is very limited today. And well, within those limits that we have today, I hope that the Lord will bless us by reading and sharing the scripture and also the recent experience that I had on my trip, which I would like to share with you. However, let's trust the help of the Lord and go ahead with the reading first. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. That's that. Short, but very warm, and in a way very strong, epistle to Philemon from the Apostle Paul. Let us now take a moment for prayer to the Lord. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this opportunity We thank Thee, O Lord, for the abundant blessings of Thine bestowed upon us, even though we are so weak and so few in number. As we gather around Thy holy word today, O Lord, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and mercy, that wonderful goodness and mercy of Thine that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. Heavenly Father, Thou art so gracious and so loving. Even in our difficulties, and even in the time of poor health and inability to use the abundance of Thy blessings, Thou makest Thy blessings even more abundant. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thy love is so patient and so kind, so tender. Thy presence, O Heavenly Father, is so loving and so helpful, so encouraging to us. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, for Thy Holy Spirit Comforter, correcting us, teaching us, O Heavenly Father, to understand Thy Holy Word and giving us grace and power to be obedient, to be faithful, and giving us, O Heavenly Father, that delight of experiencing zeal for Thy Holy Word. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, great is Thy love and Thy faithfulness. Glory and honor belong unto Thee, O Lord. Thou art worthy that we worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou give us that gift. That Thou give us, O Heavenly Father, more of that joy of being in Thy presence, worshiping Thee, glorifying Thy name, rejoicing in Thy goodness and mercy, O Heavenly Father, and receiving Thy admonishment and Thy correction with gratitude and praise unto Thy holy name, O God. We thank Thee, O Father, for sending Thy dearly beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to bring to us the words of truth, the gospel of salvation of our souls, to bring to us that light from heaven, that light, O Father, that is dispersing, destroying the darkness of this world. Gracious and loving Lord, our Heavenly Father, we pray that today again our hearts may be open and enlarged to receive Thy holy word, O God, that our minds may be filled with the light of Thy truth, Thy revelation, O Lord, even though in my great weakness and right now poor health, I am unable to share, O Lord, from Thy holy word and from the recent experiences of Thy goodness and grace as much as I would like to, and not nearly as much as Thou hast outpoured from the abundance of Thy heavenly treasures, Thy blessings, Thy comfort, and Thy encouragement upon this recent trip to Europe. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou do, by the gentle and mighty power of Thy Spirit, do what is pleasing unto Thee, to exalt the name of Christ, to glorify Thy name, O Lord, and to receive in meekness and with a humble heart the power of Thy Spirit, guiding our steps, controlling our thoughts, emotions, affections, making us true followers of the Savior, making us Thy dearly beloved children in Christ and the heirs of the heavenly kingdom, making us faithful and trustworthy witnesses to thy truth, the blessed gospel, O the Lamb of God, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as I look back through the past days, Lord, I pray that thou unite our hearts and our minds in this prayer for the fellow believers far away. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou bless and multiply thy blessings upon the brother Lati and his wife Christina and their children as they are striving to be faithful in a world that is filled with iniquity. In the place of great darkness, sharing thy light and thy truth, O Heavenly Father, striving to raise their children in the fear of God, O Heavenly Father, in the nurture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, keeping the door of their apartment open and the door of their hearts even much more open to the fellow pilgrims and to those that are seeking thy salvation. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thou daily supply new strength and power to our new and in faith young brother Daniel, as thou hast, O Heavenly Father, plucked him out of darkness and brought him into the wonderful and glorious light of thy gospel. Lord God Almighty, we are aware of the fact that he is surrounded with many adversities, many difficulties, and that the enemy appeared to be furious in losing one of his victims. Lord God Almighty, we remember the words that thou hast given us in Christ, that thou, our Heavenly Father, art the mightiest, and no one can snatch out thy sheep from thy hands. Gracious Lord, thou supply abundant peace and strength of thy spirit for brother Daniel, that he might be thy light, even thou surrounded by darkness, that he may be the voice of thy truth, that he, O Heavenly Father, may rejoice in thy goodness and thy mercy, even though he has to suffer so much from those that should be his loved ones. Gracious Lord Almighty God, thou hast the power to overcome evil with good. And in thee, O Lord God Almighty, is the grace and strength to touch the hearts, to deliver the souls, and to proclaim thy gospel loud and clear, even with soft and gentle voices of thy humble witnesses, even when the tempest around them is roaring mightily. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we thank thee for the zeal and endurance of brother Yanni and for his continuous striving to be faithful in the mission that thou hast given him, in the ministry that thou hast blessed him with, O Lord. And we pray that in his loneliness thou be his company, his fellowship in thy spirit. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou bless the good desires and prayers, especially of the fellow believers and fellow pilgrims that have contributed to the necessities of this trip, of that mission, that have donated of their own labor and saving for thy ministry and thy work, O Heavenly Father. Great is thy love and thy faithfulness, O Lord. Watch over thy children and multiply thy blessings. Arm us with the whole armor of faith, O Heavenly Father, and give us thy holy testimonies always. May thy word be in our hearts, thy light shine upon our minds, and thy spirit, O Heavenly Father, fill our whole being, that we may walk in Christ, that we may walk worthy of thy calling, and that, O Lord God Almighty, thy goodness and thy mercy may fall upon those that might be at the moment slack and hesitant, and yet not forsaking nor rejecting thy word. Lord God Almighty, save the lost, we pray. Heal the sick, raise the dead, strengthen the weak, comfort the sad, and thou, O Heavenly Father, do thy good will in all of our hearts. Complete the work of thy salvation, O Lord, and prepare thy people in the beauty of thy holiness in this day of thy battle, that we all be ready when thou wilt come with the sound of that great trumpet, that we may lift up our heads and our hands and our hearts to meet our great Redeemer, our Lord and King. O Lord God Almighty, glory and honor to thy holy name forever. Amen. I am quite moved when I read this epistle to Philemon, and I wonder how reliable is the story that I heard that Onesimus was a runaway slave, and I wonder what if that is not the fact, since in this epistle we don't find all the information that would expressly say so. But right in the beginning of this epistle, we see that Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, sent this epistle to Philemon, a very dearly beloved and fellow laborer. So I would think that brother Philemon was one of the evangelists, or one of the preachers, or one of the faithful witnesses, someone who was very active in the ministry of spreading the gospel and supporting the mission of the apostle Paul and his fellow laborers. But then in the verse number 2, we read about our beloved Apphia. It appears to be a female name, a lady's name, and then also this epistle is sent to Archippus, a fellow soldier, and then to the church in their house. Perhaps that also makes it so emotional for me, because they had the church in their house. But in any case, I would think that this is a small group of believers. And I wonder if Philemon was not the host of the church, and perhaps the minister also, and the father of a family, you know, the head of the household. And I think that it's very likely that beloved Apphia was his wife, and that Archippus might have been their son. I'm not sure, but it looks like that this is a family, and in their household, in their home, they have a church. From this moment on, right after the greetings in the verse number 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, after that the epistle is addressed, or the message is addressed, to Philemon. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Now, I don't know what is the chronological order, what time elapsed between the two epistles, like this epistle to Philemon and the third epistle of John. Which of the two was written first, and which of the two was written last? But I see that in the third epistle of John, the elder is writing unto well-beloved Gaius, whom the elder loves with a true love. And then he says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest, or everything altogether what thou art doing to the brethren and to the travelers, to the strangers, to the pilgrims." I believe that these are not strangers to Gaius and other believers there, but they are strangers because they go from place to place. Paul, for example, Paul the Apostle was a stranger most of his life since the time of his conversion. Now, some of these pilgrims, some of these traveling ministers have borne witness of the charity of Gaius before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. So Gaius seemed to be one that is very actively, very strongly supporting the ministers of the gospel. And yet, we see that in the same church, verse number 9, Diotrephes, a man who loves to have the preeminence among the disciples, among the believers in that local church, receiveth us not. This Diotrephes is refusing to receive the instruction of the Apostle John. And John is saying here in the verse number 10, "If I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words." Oh, Diotrephes was quite a strong force of the enemy in the church. And he was not only, he was not content even prating or attacking the apostolic ministry and the Apostle John personally with his malicious words, evil words, with his lies and false accusations. This Diotrephes is going even further. He himself would not receive the brethren, apparently the same ones that were ministering and spreading the gospel, traveling nearby and far and wide to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He, this Diotrephes, would not receive them, would not support them, and the same Diotrephes is forbidding them that would, and casteth them out of the church. And now another encouragement to Gaius: "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." So we see that it was not always the case that everyone who professed to be a believer, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, was supporting the ministry of the ministers of Christ. And yet, here in the Epistle to the Philemon, we see one that is. In the verse number 5, Paul is writing, "We heard of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints." that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And so, the Apostle Paul is writing, he says, I have much liberty toward you, Philemon. I feel free that just to tell you what is necessary, what is convenient, what you should do. However, for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. I feel much more comfortable, and I enjoy, Paul says, in my understanding, Paul is enjoying asking, pleading, asking with a humble and meek voice and tone, something that he's sure is available, and Philemon will be glad to do that and to offer that what is needed. And he says, and Paul is saying here, for love's sake, in the verse number 9, for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I believe that this must have moved the heart of Philemon. Thinking about Paul the apostle, one that presented the truth of the gospel to Philemon before Philemon was converted and delivered. The one that was at that time so mightily used by God, now a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And now, being a prisoner, he is beseeching, he is actually begging, asking Philemon, on behalf of Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. What was the relationship between Onesimus and Philemon is not revealed here in details, but it's obvious that there was a relationship, there was some connection. In the verse 11 we read that this Onesimus in the past time was unprofitable to Philemon, but now is profitable to both of them, to the Apostle Paul and to Philemon. And Paul is sending back Onesimus and asking, beseeching Philemon, receive Onesimus, receive him, that is, mine own bowels or mine own heart. For I, Paul says, I would have retained him with me. I would have kept Onesimus as my company, as my help, that in thy stead, in the stead of Philemon, would minister unto Paul. Obviously, Paul and Philemon were now far away, separated by a considerable distance. And somehow Onesimus happened to be there. How did Onesimus come to see Paul in the prison? All of that is part of a story that is not revealed to us in all the details. But there must be, or at least might be, some dependence of Onesimus on Philemon, or some claims or rights of Philemon concerning Onesimus. Because Paul is writing, without Philemon's mind, I don't want to do anything. Verse 14, without thy mind, I do nothing. That thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. Paul not only wanted Philemon to do something as being necessary and not being forced or compelled to do it. Paul is expecting even more, because Philemon is a dearly beloved fellow laborer in the gospel, a faithful brother. So Paul is expecting that Philemon should do what is necessary and what is in his power to do, but willingly, joyfully, gladly. And then Paul is saying, perhaps what happened in the past happened for our mutual benefit. That's verse number 15. I'm interpreting it. For perhaps he therefore, Onesimus therefore, departed from thee, Philemon, for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Now, receiving somebody forever is unrealistic on this earth. We received our children, but not forever, only for a time. The children have parents, but not forever, only for a time. We have brothers and sisters in the flesh. Any relationship that is based on flesh and blood, brothers, sisters, parents, children, in-laws, everything is just temporary. However, when we are received in Christ and we become the children of the Heavenly Father and brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a relationship that is forever. And so we read again in this verse number 15, perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant. And this word servant probably means slave. But above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, since it seemed to be recorded here and seemed to be evident that Onesimus was a slave and that Philemon was a slave owner, we don't know now. I don't know. How did they get separated? Some people suggested, and there are stories about that, and the writers or the author of the story claimed to have a firm base in this epistle to believe that Onesimus was a runaway, a slave. Now, I don't know. I don't know if he was a runaway slave. What if he was a rebellious slave, and when Philemon got converted, he gave Onesimus freedom? Could it be? Is there anything in this epistle that would suggest contrary to an idea of this kind? Is there anything in this epistle that would secure the opinion that Onesimus was a runaway slave? In any case, there was something that has not been taken care of in a godly way, including goodwill and full agreement of both Philemon and Onesimus. Because we read in the verse number 11, that in time past, Onesimus was unprofitable to Philemon. But now, profitable both to Philemon and to the Apostle Paul. Verse 15 tells us that Onesimus departed for a season from Philemon, and now he's coming back that Philemon might receive him forever. Not as a slave anymore, verse 16, but above a slave, a brother beloved, especially to the Apostle Paul, who obviously was the one that preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to Onesimus and had the privilege and the joy and the blessing of witnessing Philemon's conversion and deliverance. The same Apostle Paul sent back Onesimus to Philemon. But when we read here, especially to me, Paul, but how much more to thee, Philemon? What does that mean? That sometimes between the slave owners and the slaves there was developed a relationship like between our father Abraham and his young slaves that were born in his house, and between Abraham and his head servant that was so trusted, even so much that Abraham sent that servant to bring a young girl to be the wife of Isaac. And when we read about that in Genesis, we can see that this servant was a godly man. The way he prayed, "O God of my father Abraham, let this endeavor, this effort be blessed by God," and so on. And but I think that it's possible, thinking about this verse number 11, that Onesimus in the past times was unprofitable, and now we think of him as being a slave. Imagine having a servant, a slave, that is unprofitable. What kind of a slave that is, what kind of a attitude, what kind of personality that is. In those days, I think that slaves had practically no human rights. Romans were in power and their laws were in power, and they were very cruel people. Their way of thinking was the way of power, enforcement. The slave owners had all the rights and all the power, and the slaves had all the burden and all the difficulties. And yet, I wonder what we can conclude thinking about these words. He was unprofitable before, and now he is coming back, Onesimus that is, not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to Paul the Apostle, but how much more to Philemon? So I would think that much more meant that Philemon was such a faithful brother, such a dearly beloved brother, that seeing one of his formerly unprofitable slaves coming back with the epistle of the Apostle Paul in Onesimus' hand, coming to Philemon. When Philemon saw that the Lord, in the gentle and mighty power of the Spirit of Christ, transformed, changed this man Onesimus, that the joy of Philemon was so great. However, Paul is writing this. In verse 17, he's reinforcing or adding to the strength of the words. Now let's just once again read a few verses before. Verse 7 and on. "For we have," Paul and his fellow laborers, "they have great joy and consolation in the love of Philemon, because the saints are refreshed, encouraged, and supplied with the necessary things for their ministry through Philemon's efforts. Wherefore, verse 8, Paul says, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. I beseech thee. And then, verse 17, if thou count me therefore a partner, a fellow laborer, a fellow believer, a brother in Christ, receive him as myself. Onesimus is coming to you, Philemon, as if I myself am coming to meet you or to visit you. And verse 18, if he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. So, as Paul is writing in the verse number 10 concerning Onesimus, I have begotten him in my bonds. It seemed to me that sometime in the past, the same thing happened between Paul and Philemon, that Philemon got converted by the testimony of Paul the Apostle. And then verse number 20 says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my heart. Refresh the good memories of the past with new activity in the Lord, having confidence in thy obedience to the Lord. I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. And I believe Philemon did that. And I believe that the reunion of Philemon and Onesimus was a joyful one, and I think an emotional one, and probably a tearful one, and tears of joy in the Lord are a testimony of the love of Christ in our hearts. Now, I'm not saying that every time we rejoice in the Lord, it has to be tearful, but there are times when it is. When we see the epistle of Paul to the Romans, how many people were there that received that epistle? How many people were in Corinth that received the epistle to the Corinthians? How many people were in all the other places where the general epistles were initially addressed and read? And yet we see first and second epistle to Timothy, and then epistle to Titus, and then epistle to Philemon, to the individuals. That mercy and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ being like a huge net cast over the sea of humanity to pull out many people, to pull out few people, to pull out some individuals here and there. And the same love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is binding all of us together. Why did I share this with you? Why did I think so much of this epistle last few days? Well, because that last just recent trip to Europe was blessed with a great burden. I left this place with a virus in my throat, and not only my throat, but all my body. And all the time there in Europe traveling, I was sick, even so much sick that I couldn't talk. And the fever was very high for quite a while. And yet, all of that seemed to be used by the Lord to minister to those around me there. It was a wonderful thing to see how the Lord can use our weaknesses and our struggles for His purpose. Nothing is in vain. It seems that not only the Lord is taking care of us in our difficulties, but He Himself is bearing our weaknesses. He's, I don't know how to explain that in simple words. The Lord is doing so much for us in every situation, and it seemed that He allowed some suffering just to make us aware of His great love and His great goodness and mercy. Well, I would like to talk much more about this, perhaps after a break.